Well, this morning we're going to remember Pentecost. It is Pentecost, and we're celebrating that today. And I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted to focus on one specific aspect of Pentecost, but the reality is he also impressed it upon me to read the account of what happened on the day of Pentecost in the early church days. And so if you have a Bible, you can open up to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read a chunk of scripture. So set in, get prepared to remember, right? Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and it says this. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, right? So you remember the story, right? So Jesus, before he ascended, he told the disciples to go and gather in this place, in the room, and to wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit, he was going to come. He was going to be poured out on them. They didn't know what that was going to look like. They didn't know how they were going to be transformed. They didn't know anything about that experience. All they knew was that they were supposed to go to this specific location, and they were to wait. And so they did. In verse 2, it says, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came. You guys feel all the winds this week? It's interesting. Whenever I have these mighty winds, some people get really scared because they think of fire. I just think of the Holy Spirit. Like I do. And obviously you got to prepare for fire. But the reality is that the Spirit is represented often by wind, fire, and water. And the mighty winds, it always reminds me, God, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? What's going on? Right? And so that was their situation. A violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine," right? And it's interesting, I think, that whenever the Holy Spirit shows up, right, whenever the Holy Spirit does something powerful in our lives, it causes people to wonder, like, what's going on? This is a new experience. Like, they had never experienced this before. This whole imagery of fire resting upon them, these tongues of fire, them speaking in other tongues, right? They didn't have the ability to do that only because of the Holy Spirit. It was loud enough that the people outside could hear what was happening. Obviously, at some point, they get launched outside to be with the gathering of people, right? It's beyond anything they could possibly imagine. And it causes men and women to wonder. And when we're wondering, we usually try to do one of two things. We look for some kind of a conclusion. So what's the natural reason? Why? Well, how could this possibly be happening? And the only thing that they could come up with was they had too much to drink, right? They were acting in a manner that was so outrageous that that was the only logical, right, conclusion that they could come up with. And yet Peter then comes and he gives a spiritual explanation for what's going on, right? And so we pick it up in verse 14, and it says that Peter stood up with the 11. He raised his voice and he addressed the crowd. Remember, this is the same Peter that denied Jesus. This is the same Peter that was nervous and afraid. And in the midst of the power outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we see a very bold and courageous Peter. And he stands up in the midst of the crowd and he says, "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead. Love that. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Right? The gospel demands a response, right? I always go back to Josh McDowell, More Than a Carpenter. Maybe you've read it, maybe you haven't. But it's a powerful short little testimony about that the gospel of Jesus. Jesus himself demands a response. You either will come to the conclusion that Jesus was a liar, right? That the things that he said about being God and being Lord is not true. Or you'll come to the conclusion that he's a lunatic, right? That he was just this wild, crazy man that's out there. Or you'll come to the conclusion that he's Lord. It's really one of those three conclusions, right? And when the people heard what Peter was saying, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Talking about amazing day. Right? At the time of the ascension, Jesus commands the disciples to go wait for the Holy Spirit. And then when the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples, we have this crazy outburst that happens, right? And he launches them out of their comfort zone. Imagine how comfortable it was in the upper room, right? Even though they're waiting and they're not sure what life's going to look like, they don't know what's going to happen, but they were together. It was familiar. And then the Holy Spirit comes and they are launched into something that is so foreign and unknown to them. They instantly become witnesses and authentic ambassadors for the kingdom, like that. Their whole lives changed. And their primary focus became how to share the good news about Jesus. How do we share this message that we have, that we know the truth about who he is? How do we get that out? What should we do? 2 weeks ago, I spoke on a message. I gave a message called "For I Am Convinced," right? What are the truths that you're convinced of that you can't be shaken from? And I believe that the moment the Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples, that they started to live in a manner that demonstrated that they were convinced of the goodness and faithfulness of God and the truth and the power of the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. Like, they were different. Something radically happened for them in this encounter. There was a marked change. If you go back before Jesus, before even as they walked with Jesus, they had some exploits, right? He sent them out in different pairs, and they went to different places, and they got to see the power of God, and they got to release miracles, and they baptized people. They did a bunch of amazing things. But when push came to shove, they were terrified. When Jesus was arrested, they all fled, right? They were lost without him. And yet in this moment, when the Holy Spirit comes down, there's a change, a radical change. And they seem to instantly acquire a send me mindset. Like, here I am, send me. And the desire to share the good news and tell others about the goodness and faithfulness of God, it burned inside of them in a way that it didn't prior. They became courageous and bold. Is part of what the Holy Spirit does. It's part of who he is. I have a coin in my pocket. It's a silver dollar. I've had to try to figure what's the biggest coin I could get that you might be able to see. And there's no real symbolism to it other than I felt like God wants to look at the phrase, send me, in two different ways. And so the first way, it's sort of the most familiar way of looking at that concept of send me. The most familiar passage that I know in Scripture is Isaiah 6, verse 8. And it's where Isaiah hears his call, ultimately from the Lord. And it says in verse 8 in Isaiah chapter 6, he says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said," this is Isaiah speaking, "'Here am I, send me.'" Right? He has this encounter with God. And God's coming, and he's looking for a man, looking for a person, a woman, right? Looking for somebody who will go to proclaim the voice of the Lord. And Isaiah has this encounter with him, and he says, ultimately he concludes, "Here am I, send me. Put your words in my mouth. Let me be the one to go and share the Father's heart, to share about the Lord of Lords, to share about this God." Right? The need to go is really compelling. And often in church today, I'm not sure that it's as compelling as it should be, but the reality is it's really compelling. And if you look at Romans chapter 10, verse 14, it says this. It says, "How can people call on him for help if they have not yet believed? And how can they believe if one they've not heard yet of? And how can they hear the message of life if there is no one there to proclaim it?" Right? There's a whole grouping of people, even here in Sonoma County, who haven't really heard the truth about who this Jesus is. They may have heard about religion, and they may have heard of the concept of Jesus Christ, but in terms of the truth, of the authentic truth of who he is, I think there's many people, even in our county, who have never had an encounter with the real Jesus. How can they do it unless someone goes? How will they ever hear unless someone shares? Right? It's a powerful concept. The other side of that is the Holy Spirit, I think he comes upon us and he qualifies and equips every believer. And my favorite passage for this is 1 Corinthians 2:4. And it says this, it says, "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters," this is Paul speaking, "when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. The best thing that we can give to people around us is a demonstration of God's power, so that it doesn't rely on our eloquent words, right? That we can convince somebody, oh, this is truth. It's where's the power of the Holy Spirit? How does he work through us to release the kingdom of heaven in the lives of those that we encounter? And the Holy Spirit has many roles, right? So he dwells within us as believers. If you have a relationship with Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit, right? There's a special anointing that comes with a baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? And that's a separate issue. We're not going to process that today. But every single believer has the Holy Spirit. It's a promise. And the Holy Spirit, one of its roles is to comfort us. Have you ever been sad or discouraged? The answer, the antidote is the Holy Spirit. He's the comforter. He comes alongside. Even when we go through things that don't make any sense, where it's overwhelming and we just don't know how is it possible for this thing to go on, or we're just so devastated or sad, it's the role of the Holy Spirit to come alongside of us and comfort. And he just sits with us. And in that process of connecting with him, we experience the comfort of the Lord. We can refuse it, right? So there's passages about those who refuse to be comforted, right? You can hold the Holy Spirit off because he's not an abusive God. He's a gentle lover. And he'll come close, and he's the one who can comfort you no matter what you go through. He really is the answer for that. And it also, the Holy Spirit's the one that gives us wisdom. You ever find yourself in a situation, whether in life or just business or whatever, you really don't know what to do? Go to the Holy Spirit. The promise is that he will give wisdom to you. He will show you a strategy or direction, even when you're facing something that it feels like there's no logical way to get to where we're supposed to go. The Holy Spirit, one of his roles is to give us wisdom in all areas of life. The Holy Spirit also points men and women to Jesus. He was sent to draw people, point to Jesus, right? All the glory goes to Jesus. And that's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, is to glorify Jesus and to make him famous in the land. And he chooses to do this through you and me. You guys realize that? From the very moment that the disciples were in the upper room and the Holy Spirit was poured out, God chose to work through human beings to release the truth of the fame and the glory of who Jesus is. And it happened there on Pentecost. The Holy Spirit could have done it many different ways, right? I don't want to think about what those could be. But he really didn't need these individuals to be the ones. But that's how God sort of set it up. Is that those who believe in Jesus, the truth about who he is, are going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and launched out to release the good news about who Jesus is. And it's supposed to be coupled with signs, wonders, and miracles so that they can see the demonstrations of power of the living God, not just these eloquent, persuasive words. That's what the Holy Spirit does. How does he do it? He sends us out. The disciples didn't just stay in that room, and the Holy Spirit came, and it was an amazing presence, right? And the glory filled the room, and everybody was happy, right? The power of the Holy Spirit came, and he launched them out of that room so that all these people from all these different places would hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And 3,000 were baptized that day and added to their number, right? Amazing. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what to do in every situation and circumstance that you find yourself in. Often, though, within the church, there's been a lot of fear connected with the Holy Spirit, or where the Holy Spirit would send you, right? So we like the idea. We think that's true. He does do that, right? I think everybody here would nod their head saying, yep, that we can see the evidence of that, not just in the early church, but all throughout history of how the Holy Spirit launches people into different places. But often we're sort of afraid, or we can be afraid, of where is he going to send me? If I say, here am I, send me, where is he? Where would he send me? Would he send me to another country? Right? Maybe I don't want to go to another country. What if he doesn't choose to send me to Italy, right? Maybe he's going to send me to a country that I don't want to go to, right? You know what I'm saying? Right? So the reality is, Do you trust him? Or maybe he'll send you to the inner city. Have you ever spent much time in the Tenderloin down in San Francisco? Right, it's a rough place. Yeah, I have too. When I first became a believer, the first place he sent me was the Tenderloin. And I had a buddy who was doing ministry with youth, at-risk youth down there. And we got together on Friday nights. And we basically, we hung out with the kids. We shared about Jesus. And we just loved him. But me as a white individual going into the Tenderloin, I was a target. And I was a spiritual target too. But my first night there, people were throwing flower pots from a three-story building trying to hit me as I was walking down the street. It's a little interesting, right? And yet I knew I was supposed to be there. That God had said, there's something not just for these kids, there's something for you. This is what it looks like to walk with me and to release the good news about Jesus. And what I realized is every Friday that I kept going and kept going, a lot of that stuff stopped. And I got to be able to be a partner to these kids and to develop some good relationships, right? And it's because God planted me there. It was just as much for me as it was for the kids that I was ministering to. But often the enemy will try to send a fear or do something to cause fear for us to say, okay, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go somewhere else. Right? Some of us might be afraid that God would send you to a particular group of people or individuals that are associated with a certain thing, right? And you're like, I'm not comfortable with that. I don't want to go to that grouping of people, that kind of thing. Some of us might be afraid that he's going to ruin your career plans. Like, he's going to derail. You've always wanted to do this. And the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to say, nah, you're going over here. You're going to wash feet. Right? You're gonna go live in the slums of India, right? And so some of us are afraid to even ask the question because we feel like somehow he's gonna mess up what we want to do. And our desires and our plans aren't really submitted to him. Or some of us might be afraid that he's gonna ruin your retirement plans. Right? So if in this season of your life, if you're at that stage where you're thinking about retirement or you just retired, right, and you're like, I really want my retirement to look like this. And you're like, if I ask the Holy Spirit, he might take me like Cal Pierce, right? Cal Pierce was going to retire. And then God got a hold of him and he basically sent him up to Spokane, Washington to reignite the healing rooms. His whole life is different than what he thought it was going to be, right? And God just might do that. But I can guarantee you this, Cal Pierce would not, if he was standing here today, he would say that's the best thing that ever happened to him in his life. And all his dreams about what retirement was going to look like, even though it's radically different what he's doing now, he would never trade it in, right? And so really it comes back to that if we find that we're afraid of where the Holy Spirit would send us or what it will mean for our lives, then at the root we don't fully trust that God's goodness is on towards us and that he's for us. We're not fully convinced. And so I say that not for anybody here to feel condemnation, right? There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? So if you're ever in a church service and you start feeling condemnation, that's not God. You might be in a church service and you feel some conviction or a little prompting from the Holy Spirit to say, hey, that's for you. That's actually God. He's just trying to get your attention. He's not doing it in a mean way. He's not trying to shove it into your face. He's basically giving you an invitation. I have more for you. I have something better for you. I have something that you would love more than what your current reality is. And so it's an invitation for you to say, I want to pursue that. I want to address that fear, or I want to look at that. Like think of Paul, Peter, Stephen, Philip, Silas, Barnabas, right? Think of all the people in the early church. Did God just use them to accomplish his purposes or his mission? Or was it in their best interest as well? What do you honestly believe? Right? What do you truly believe about God for you? What kind of father is he? Is he a father that just wants to use you so that you carry on the family business, son? I don't care if you hate it. Right? Is that the kind of father we have? Or is a heavenly father, does he know he created you from in your mother's womb, even before you were a speck, right? He knows every single detail about you, every intricacy about how you were created and who you are. Every dream and desire that's planted there comes from him. There's something significant about he puts you together. No single individual is exactly a duplicate of somebody else, even if you're twins, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, you are a unique individual, perfectly and wonderfully made. And there's purpose on your life. There's destiny for each single person in this room. The question is, do you believe that God's plans for you are the best? Or do you have a better way? Right? We're going to flip the coin over. So now we're on the tail side. And he reminded me of a poem. It may be familiar to some of you. It says this. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. You guys know that? Emma Lazarus on the Statue of Liberty, right? It's this heart's cry to send me. Who will you send me? Right? It's the other version of looking at that phrase, send me. Who will God send to you? Who do you cry out to be sent, right? When I think of the Statue of Liberty, I think of my relatives, right? My great-grandparents on my grandmother's side. And my grandparents on my father's side, or my mother's side, and my grandparents on my father's side, all came through there, right? And there was this call from America to send me those that the other nations don't want. Send me those who are struggling, those who are outcasts, those who are in difficult situations and places. Send them here with promise and expectation that there's something better. And when I think of that phrase, I think of my own daily walk. One of the things that God highlighted for me to do, I don't know, probably for about a year now, maybe it's a little bit longer, I don't know for sure. But every day I make these declarations. I say them in a form of declaration, but really it's a heart's cry. It's my prayer of who God would send me. And so again, the kingdom is not about comparison. So don't compare what I'm going to share right now with you, right? Each of you has your own specific, you can make your own list is what I'm saying. But for me, every day what I ask for, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to send me the blind. Every single blind person in Sonoma County, send them my way. The deaf, every single deaf person, every person who would be considered lame or they have a disability in how they walk. Those who are missing limbs, those who are missing organs, the infertile, those with metal in their bodies. Anybody who's dead, who's not supposed to be dead, that they're supposed to be raised from the dead, I would love to see them. Anybody who's battling the spirit of cancer in all of Sonoma County, anybody who's battling the spirit of ALS, because I had a battle for a friend who died of ALS, I want those people. I want him to send me these so that they will know the love of the Father. They deserve to know the love of the Father. Often their lives are made up by their disability. They don't know the love of the Father. Send me these so that they will know the goodness of God and that they're not forgotten. Send me these that the glory of the Lord would go forth. Send me these that the fame of Jesus would be spread. It's my heart's cry that every single person in those categories, and again, there's many, many categories, right? That they would know the true God that I worship. And the love of the Father that's on towards them. That their identity is not their disability. Their identity is not their past misery, right? You could go to different emotional wounds that people have and that kind of thing. And we, sons and daughters of the living God, we're the answer. We're the ones who partner with the Holy Spirit to release life and truth that would transform these individuals' lives. With nothing left, if nothing else, maybe the miracle doesn't happen, but that by the end of the encounter, they would feel loved. But my heart's cry is that the miracle would happen and that their whole lives would be transformed. And the reality is I'll never know if the miracle is going to happen unless I am courageous enough to get out of the boat, right, and actually pray for the individual. It's those kinds of things that changes it. Like, I know for myself, I contend for creative miracles a lot. And I was convinced a while back that not one person that I encounter will be healed or will receive a creative miracle if I don't pray for them. I'll never see it if I don't pray. Right? 2 weeks ago, there's a guy sitting on a road that I go by every day. Never seen the man before. His name is Greg. He's in a wheelchair. He's missing, I believe it was his right leg. And I just stopped. He's a believer. He blames that disability on decisions he made in his life. He traces it back. The reason why I lost my leg was because I did this, this, and this. And I was able to sit with him. I prayed for a new leg. The new leg didn't grow out. But by the end of the conversation, he heard a message, a different message about the love of the Father that's on towards him. That his current situation is not because of his own decisions, right? That there's a powerful God, a Father that loves him and cares about him. Greg needed to hear that. How many Gregs are out there, right? See what I'm saying? But if I wasn't looking, if I wasn't asking for God to send these people, when I drove by, I wouldn't see them. I would just go by. And so it's a discipline in that sense. I put how or where, right? So sometimes I'll get a phone call. I'll take a phone call. I'll take a text. I'll take an email about anybody in those categories. I hope that they walk in the door on a Sunday morning. You never know who's going to be here, right? Why does anybody come to church, right? Honestly, right? Why did you show up today? Is it just out of habit? Just because that's what you do? Like you're just programmed, I go to church? Or were you coming expectant for something of God, something powerful to be released in your life, or to have something to release to somebody else in the room? I really think we need to change the way we live. Because we walk with the Holy Spirit, so every day should be filled with these power-packed encounters with people that we know and love and strangers that we've never met before. Releasing the love of God. I ask, as I go about my errands or daily routines or to neighbors across the street from my park, I have a whole playground right across the street. Many, many people come to my park, right? It's the healthiest park in Sonoma County. That's my goal. Who will you cry out for God to send you? Do you want him to send you people? What do you have faith for? Who do you have faith that God would actually love through you? What do you want faith for? I think often that's the first question. I may not be there, but I want it. And that's a good place to start with the Holy Spirit. I want to have faith for that. Do whatever it takes that I would have faith for that. And then you start walking in a place of greater faith. Often we ask, you know, what do you have to offer? What do I have to offer to anybody, right? And the reality is Isaiah asked that same question, right? And if you go back a few verses before 6:8, it talks about, he says, I'm a man of unclean lips. And he asked for a transformation. And there's this whole process with the coal and all that kind of stuff. But the Holy Spirit came upon Isaiah. And if you look at Isaiah's prophetic ministry, it was powerful to see how the power of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, flowed through him. But he described himself at the very beginning, I'm a man of unclean lips. You think about Paul, right? He was a Christian persecutor. He would enjoy if they were dead, or at least tortured and put in prison. And yet here the Holy Spirit comes upon him, and think about all of the amazing ways that he pointed the finger to the glory and fame of Jesus. And it wasn't easy, right? He had to go through a lot of hard things. But the reality is that the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that rested on Isaiah, came upon Paul, filled Paul for him to accomplish everything that he accomplished. And I've said it before this morning, but if you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit is upon you also. The Holy Spirit fills us up. That same Holy Spirit The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave lives in you. Are you convinced? Yeah, but are you convinced? Does it change how you live? You see what I'm saying? Are you convinced of it? It's not a rhetorical. At the bottom of the line, at the end of the day, what do you really believe? Does the same power that rose Jesus from the grave live inside of you and me? Whatever you decide with that question will transform the rest of your life. Because if you're fully convinced of it, you'll never live the same again. And you will welcome every encounter that you have with any impossible situation or circumstance that you face. Because the power of God is in you. The truth is that you are fully equipped. I'm fully equipped to release the fullness of heaven to anyone who God sends you to, or to anyone God sends to you. That's the truth. You're already equipped. And what we're going to do to end this message is we're going to play a song. And Steve's going to get this up by Matt Redman. And we're going to play the song twice. The first, we're going to play it so you can just hear the words. And then I'll tell you what we're going to do next. So Don and Steve, we're good to go.
I'm undone by your holiness in the light of your holiness. I'm undone by your holiness. Send me, Lord. Letting go of my selfishness, I repent of my selfishness, letting go of my selfishness. Send me, Lord. Where you go, I will go. I belong to you alone. Letting go of my selfishness. Send Jesus, send me, Lord.
All right, so what we're going to do is there's some of you in the room that you hear the words to that song, and it's your heart's cry. You just know that you know that you know that's me. I want that. At whatever cost, I want that. And what I would ask for you guys to do is if that's you, we're going to play this song one more time. And I want you to come down to the front of the stage. There's some of you who are here, you're like, I want that, but I don't know I'm ready yet. And so you feel like you're in a spot where you've been moving in a direction of, that's something that I desire. I know that there's probably truth there, but I'm just not there yet. That's not bad. Again, we're not about comparison. If that's where you find yourself this morning, I just would like you to stand where you are. And we're going to sing the song again. There may be some here. I'll just categorize it. If you're here today and you're like, that song, it just doesn't resonate with me. I'm just not there. That's okay. Do you believe it? That's okay. That Jesus still loves you, right? Again, it's not comparison. You're where you're at, right? I wasn't always in the place that I am in the things that I pursue. That hasn't been my whole life. Make sense? So we grow. So you're either going to sit, you're going to stand, or you're going to come down front. And we're going to play the song again, then I'm going to pray, and we're going to be done. All right? Make sense? All right, go ahead, Steve. We just say, Holy Spirit, come. I ask that this morning that you would rest on every single person in this room. And anybody who listens to this message on the podcast, that your presence, the warmth and the heaviness of your presence would just rest on every single person. No matter where they're at with this message, that they would feel your presence. Your love is on towards them, that they're accepted, that they're welcomed, that they're wanted, that you receive them with open arms like the father who runs out to the son, that you want their presence. You want to be with them. You love being with them. And I just pray that every single person would feel that love this morning. And then I pray for those that are standing in their seats. I pray that as they recognize that as they hear this message, this cry or this call to be sent, either to send ones to us or to be sent out to ones. I pray, Jesus, that as they hear that and they recognize that they want more of that, but they're not ready to go dive 100% all in. But there's something that's stirring in them. There's something, an aspect of your presence that stirs something inside of them. I pray the Holy Spirit, would you just blow on that? Would you affirm, like you blow on the coals. The coals, the fire would just get warmer. The embers would get hotter. And I pray that you would do all of the process that they need to go through, whether it's mindsets that need to be transformed, whether it's fear that needs to be addressed, whether it's their desires and their plans that need to be surrendered. I just pray for a grace in your interactions with them. Again, you meet them right where they're at. You're not forcing them to do something or to be something that they're not. And I pray that they would feel accepted and loved by you right where they're at. And you see them standing. You see them right there, that they stood up. They said, I want that, but I'm not there yet. And I just pray that you would meet them in a powerful way. And then those who felt led to come forward, they're like, I'm in. That's me. I want that. I have to have it. It burns inside of me. I can't live without going or having people come to me. I pray, Holy Spirit, would you rest upon them in a fresh way like they haven't experienced before? That you would satisfy the desire, the cry of their heart, to be light and truth to those that they encounter, to represent the Father's heart and to release your love to all those that they that are in this county and to the nations, right, where you would send them. And you have specific places and people for each one. It's not all similar. It's not cookie cutter. The kingdom isn't like that. But that you know their story and you know how it intersects with individual stories that you will draw them to or you will draw to them. And I pray that today they would leave with a confidence that they're fully equipped, that the same Jesus, same Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave does live inside of them. And so they're fully equipped to handle any person that comes their way. They have access to all of the substances of heaven. Everything that you did, Jesus, you said we would do the same works and even greater works. So every substance of heaven that you had access to lives inside of them. And they can tap into that and they can release it to those they encounter. And then I pray again that they would know that they know that they know that wherever you send them or whoever they send to them, that it's both for them and it's for that other individual. That it's actually a gift for them. And so I just pray that you would bless them in that process. That you would give them wisdom and direction. You would give greater clarity. It's what you do. And that our city and county, that this nation and the nations would never be the same because of what you did here today. That we would be able to point back to this day, May 23rd, 2021. It was a day of being launched in a fresh way. It was a day of moving across the continuum in a fresh way. It was a day of waking up in a fresh way. And we just thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing. And we give you permission to do it however you want to do it. We just want Jesus to be famous in the land. And we want those who are suffering and hurting, who are in captivity or in prison, right, who are in bondage, that they would be set free and they would know the love of the Father. It's our heart's cry. And so we commit everything that you've done here this morning back unto you. Let it be a pleasing aroma of worship unto you, Lord. And we just ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.